If you will tonight, get your Bibles out again, and we go to Luke 23 tonight as we come to a conclusion of the seven statements that Christ made from the cross. And the last one is found in Luke 23 tonight. And it's found in verse 46, but I'm going to read from 44 to 46. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for thy tender mercies, for thy faithfulness, for thy love, for thy peace and thy comfort that you bless thy people with. Oh Lord, you know tonight that we are an afflicted people with the pains and the sorrow that is among us tonight, Lord. We pray that you would come with thy healing physically, and heal in our souls. Lord, we pray for Brother Phil tonight, knowing he's not doing well. Lord, I pray for thy healing to come to him powerfully, that you would meet him, Lord, in his soul, that you would be that present help to fix his eyes upon thee. That you be with this people, Lord. As many in here tonight are hurting physically and spiritually, that you would be pleased to lift our eyes to thee tonight, to fix our eyes upon thee, our hearts. Lord, bless us with the faith to apprehend thee. And Lord, bless my lips tonight, Lord, loose them to speak thy everlasting gospel. May thy people be fed at thy table. May thy grace be abundant. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus cried with a loud voice. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This is indeed the last of the seven sayings, or the seven statements that Jesus made on the cross. And seven is always the number of perfection when you see it in the Word of God. And that tells me something, that upon this final saying, that everything that he had to instruct his people from the cross is now finished. He has something in every message, as I hope that you've been blessed by all the way. And seven also means rest, because we know that the Lord rested on the seventh day. And our rest is in Christ. And so we have that in front of us tonight. Christ is our rest, and he is. This shows us tonight that Christ is our accepted one. His sacrifice was accepted by the Father, and it was well pleasing in his sight, and the Father was satisfied for his redemptive work that he has done on the cross. And as I read, that's why I backed up to 44, because I wanted you to get the full understanding of where Jesus' mind and his strength and everything is, and it's right there. We see that he's in total control. In total control of all things now, that he is nearing the end where he will lay down his life. In John 10:17, Jesus said these words, in 18, he said, Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It was the Father's plan of salvation, and it was executed perfectly by our Savior. And as I said, it shows he's in total control, and all the way to the end where he dismisses his spirit. He is in full strength. You hear that by the way that he cried out to the Father. And you see that he did not die in any weakness. He died in his full strength of life. His mind was clear, he was calm, and he was undisturbed. And he was completely content to do his Father's will. And all of this, the most important thing impressed upon me tonight is that he is my first fruits. He went first. When he said, Father, into thy hands, I trust my spirit, I trust my life. Because of him doing that, we in him can do that and will do that. To say, Lord, I trust you with my life. That's what he's saying. I trust you in my final days. I trust you up to my final moments. He's back in communion with the Father. It wasn't long ago that we heard him call him, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he truly was forsaken because he was made sin. But he's dealt with that sin. It's no longer my God, it's Father. The loving effect, the communion has now been reinstated. And so is ours with the Father because of this mediator. Because he laid down his life, you and I have life. Because he took up that life, you and I have resurrection life. Because he ascended into heaven, we have a reigning king, an intercessor, who is interceding for us right now. Right now. We need to know that. We just sang that. I need thee every hour. We need to know every hour that the Lord is interceding for us. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Here it is. Here is my soul. That's what that means, my spirit. He has given him of his soul. Because his soul, just like ours, dear ones, when we pass in this life, it goes immediately to be with the Lord. That's what he said. He is going to die and his soul is going to be with God, the Father. I commend it into your hands. It's yours. You have made this body for me. You have given this soul unto me. And now it returns back to thee, Lord. Back to thee, Father. Where he is reigning today. I put myself in your hands because he'll never be in the hands of man again. And I mean that we know that the Lord ordained all events, but the cruelty that he suffered at the hands of man will never be experienced again. He's now with the Father, reigning. Kingdom set up, reigning in his kingdom. So tonight I want to go where the Lord took these words from. Because as I've said many times, as we've come to the end of this study, please understand that all the sayings and all the statements that you have heard are fulfilled. Christ repeated them from the Old Testament because the Old Testament is where the prophets spoke of him that would come. And they said the very words that Jesus would say from the cross because that was given to them to see their Lord hanging on the cross. It's no different tonight. So let's hold our fingers back in this text because we'll be back here to end tonight. But let's go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, which as you know was written by David, is prophetic again. These are the words of Christ. And as he fully trusted the Father, we're now going to see what this effectual work means for you and I. Look at verse 5. That's where our text is. That's where it's in. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. These are the words that Christ uttered, because these are the messianic words. These are the ones given to David as he saw Christ on the cross. The Lord fulfills all prophecy. And he said, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Now, what does that mean for us? The submission and the mind of Christ in the example that he showed and the life that he had is what we have if we're in Christ. So the very first thing we see at the end of this verse, into thy hand I commit my spirit, thou hast redeemed me. Thou hast saved me from the hell of separation. He did. He's back in communion with the Father. He has brought him through that time. And he's now in total unity, as he always was, but now he sees his Father's face. Thou hast redeemed me. Now you got to understand, everything I say tonight that the Lord lays on my heart is coming from our union with Christ now. This is what we have. We have redemption. Because the Son, as he said, thou hast redeemed me. I was made sin. I had the justice of the Father poured out upon me. I experienced hell, the separation of the Father. But you've redeemed me. You've brought me back from there. That's what the Lord has done for us. He has saved us from the jaws of hell. He has saved us from ourselves. And he's done that by standing in our place. So as he utters these words, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, we have the right. And we have the power, as the Lord gives that power, as the Holy Spirit authors this prayer. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But the Lord must convince you that he holds your life in his hands. He must convince you that he is life. And so Jesus said, you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. See, that's what the Lord does for us. He revealed to the Son, we are now inseparable. You have done what you were purposed to do. You have done what you have volunteered to do. You have laid down your life, and you shall take it up again. And for you and I, that truth that he fulfilled of all of the Father's plan of salvation is the truth that he reveals to us. That plan of salvation that he executed perfectly for you and I if we're in Christ. That's what we have. We have redemption. We have the revelation of his truth. Because he put his hands and committed his spirit to the Father. You know, we said the last time I was up here, it is finished. And some of you said, well, that should be the last thing he says, right? Yes. He finished the work the Father gave him to do. Now you see why this comes out. Now, Father, I'm going to dismiss my spirit, just as you have given me commandment and power to do so. Unity. Union. Same mind. what we have in Him. But we're not done. Look at verse 7. He says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. The Father knew, of course, what the Son just went through. The Father provided everything that he'd need. He was strengthened by the Spirit in the garden. All the strength and all that he was to lay down his life was given and met. He considered his trouble. And you and I now today, our trouble, the trouble that you've shared with me today, that now that our lives have entered into again, that's what we do. We're wandering sheep. And we get into a lot of trouble. And the Lord has considered our trouble. And not only has He considered it, but He's delivered us from it. He's made a way to escape. And that way is Him. He's went before us as the great and good shepherd to lead us. And he tells us that we will, my sheep shall hear my voice. And they will follow me. And we do. In the power, in the day of his power, to effectually hear him and to effectually be led by him. Yes, he's considered our trouble. For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. And our souls tonight, some in here, your souls are very burdened because of the things that the Lord has brought into your life to try your faith, to see if it is of Him, to show you that it is of Him, to bring you to Him. For that expected end, which is His peace and His comfort. And the same end that Jesus was brought to in the garden. Nevertheless, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Yes, He has considered our trouble. He's known my soul. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Now, I'm going to read through 8 through 14, and I want you to get into these are the words. This is what the Lord is going through or went through, the trouble he had. Listen to this. And hast thou not shut me up into the hand of the enemy? Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He considered our trouble, and He's clothing us, and has clothed us with His righteousness. He's taken those sins away. He's taken the condemnation of those sins away. He's taken the guilt of those sins away. He's taken the penalty of those sins away. He paid it. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies. We heard that. We know. They were wagging their finger at him. You're going to see something else tonight at the end of this text. It's pretty amazing though. He said, but especially among my neighbors, those that were close to me, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. Isn't that what happened to the Lord? They all fled from his presence. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. I heard them mock my name. I heard them mock your name, Lord. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. Satan, sin, the world, self, there's our enemies that take counsel against us. The Lord's enemies took counsel against Him. They devised to take away my life. That's the explanation of the trouble. If you wanted a refresher tonight on the trouble that his soul was encountering, he was made sin. And all of that was because he was made sin for us. So now we move to, look at 14. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. And he did. He trusted in the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. Look at 15. My times are in thy hand. That's trusting. That's trusting everything to the Father. That's what I said. That's what these words mean tonight. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And as the Lord raises us up to say those words, or should I say it better, as He humbles us to say those words, to pray that prayer, the Lord reveals to us that we do trust Him. That He is trustworthy. That He's worthy of that faith and trust. Into Thy hands. My times are in Thy hand. You hold in the palm of your hand my life. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. See, that's the thing. We know doctrinally. We know that He's defeated those enemies. The Bible tells us that. We know that we're safe and secure and that we're kept in Him. The Bible tells us that. But it has to be applied to us by faith to lay hold of Christ in this way. That as my enemies are all around me attacking me with emotionalism, intellectualism, all kinds of isms, futurism, capitalism, I got them. We can keep going on. All the things that the world has that comes in to our minds and pollutes us. Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Lord, I need you to put a hedge about me. I need you to raise that shield of faith and to quench the wiles and the fiery darts of the wicked. O wretched man that I am, Lord, who can deliver me from the body of this death? He can. And he's faithful to do so. That's what's flowing out of this text in 5 tonight. That's what's flowing into thy hand. I commit my spirit. What does that mean? And he's telling us. And for you and I, if we're in Christ, this is what it means for us. Deliverance. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. His perfect plan of salvation through His perfect obedience. We need that quickened to us, Lord. Deliver me by showing me what you've done for me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Verse 16. Servant. That's a role of meekness. It's a role of servitude. It's a role of seeing that He is increased and I've decreased. It's a role of humility and humbleness. I'm Thy servant, Lord. And we have that text that tells us, and I believe it's in Romans or John, it says, we're no longer servants but sons. But the servant mindset is never leaves us, because that was Christ's mindset, and He was the Son. The two go hand in hand. We don't graduate up to something that the world's religion tells us that we are, that we're on equal par with the Son of God or equal par with the Father. No. We owe everything to them. In Christ we are. But as long as we're in this body of death, we are dependent upon Him. Needy. That's what we sang. I need Thee every hour. I hope when you sang that, you meant it. I hope the Lord pricked you in the heart and said, you know, do you really need me every hour? Look at verse 19. Oh, how great is Thy goodness. That's what He shows us, the goodness of the Father. The goodness of Himself to lay down His life for us. That as He has commended now and put His life into the Father's hands, we put our life into His hands. Because of His goodness. Everything He does for us is good. And I know we use Romans 8:28. We're going to use it again tonight. And we actually use that with people in this world, and we really don't have any right to. Because it's just for the people of God. And it is true. He does work all things for our good. He does do that to all who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. He does. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. He put the Lord's goodness on display. He put the Father's goodness on display on the cross. The Father sent His Son to die in our place. Because that was the only sacrifice that would be worthy. That's the goodness of God toward you and I. And that's the same goodness of God that leads us to repentance. He gives us repentant hearts. That's not all. The last one's in 21. Blessed be the Lord, for He has showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. I jotted down this verse in Jeremiah 29:11. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." To give you my Son. Those are my thoughts towards you. That's the kindness of the Lord. You know how many times we've wronged Him? And the Son stood in our place. And He stood there perfectly. And that wrath that was poured out upon Him was due to you and I. But He took it out of the kindness and love of sacrifice that He had for His people and His church. I want you to consider Romans 8:28 and 32 with me. Two verses. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose." I left out half that verse. I'm going to turn there and make sure I don't leave anything in. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose." Consider that. Because the first thing Paul says is, it's something we know. Do you know that? Has the Lord quickened to you that He loves you? And that everything that He's brought into your life is because of His love for you? There's some in here right now going through some hard things. Do you see the Father's love? Do you see that it was all that were for those who are called according to His purpose? Because then I'd follow that up with verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That's what Paul said. He gave up His own Son. He didn't spare His Son from His wrath. And how can we, if He gave up His Son and He delivered Him up for the church, how shall He not with Him? Because He raised Him from the dead. He brought Him up into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that's how He gives us freely all things. Everything the Father has for His church comes through the Son. Through the conduit of the Son. The Son's person gives it to each one of His church members. Sheep. Wheat. Elect. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He's freely given us all things in Christ. And there, you know what that means? That means all things you'll ever need. All things that are good for your soul. We like to ask that little three-letter word, why, a lot. It's because we lose sight of this. We lose sight of the Lord giving us all things as He sees fit. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And as the Lord enables us to say those words, to pray those words, to think those words, to be subject to those words. That's complete surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Complete surrender to the Father. Complete surrender to the Holy Ghost. Let's go back to our text now as we leave Psalm 31. Let's go back to Luke 23. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And I've already said that to you. That's His soul. That's His soul. His soul had been made an offering for sin. That's what Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53:12. He said, Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He has poured out His soul unto death. And He was numbered with the transgressors. And He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's what He did on our behalf. And now He's placed in the hands of the Father. And He's kept eternally. Just as you and I are in Christ Jesus. But look at the next verse. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God. A Roman soldier is standing there witnessing everything done to Jesus. But not just witnessing what was done to Jesus, witnessing the seven statements of Christ on the cross. Witnessing the words coming out of Christ's mouth. Being ministered to him in his soul. The very enemy that was the one that was used to put Christ up. The Roman enemy. The Roman army. And we have this centurion, one who has over 100 men under him. said, this is your day of grace. And he opened his ears to hear the message from the cross. And he glorified God. Matthew and Mark said in their account, truly, this was the Son of God. That's what he said in their account. Truly, this was the Son of God. Think about that. He didn't say, truly, this was a righteous man. Truly, this man shouldn't have went through this. No, he said, truly, this man, this was the Son of God. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him. Only the Father in heaven. He glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. And I told you what there said, that truly this was the Son of God. He saw a righteousness there that exceeded the righteousness of man. He saw something there that was different. And he could only see it by faith. And that's the remarkable thing. That even in the dismissing of his spirit, even in that last moment, he opened the ears of one there. He saves to the uttermost. We already know he saved one on the cross. But that's not all. Because then verse 48 says, and all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. You know, when I used to read that verse, in my own knowledge, I was left to it. I thought that meant, you know, they were beating on their breast and saying something derogatory to him, like, we won't have this man to reign over us. But that's not what that means at all. That's not what that means at all. In fact, it means terrified at what had been done, a repentant spirit. They had seen the magnitude of what they did. They had seen all and witnessed everything. I didn't say they were converted. What's coming? The day of Pentecost. Is it not? And the ones there that Peter was raised to preach that message to. You've crucified him. You've put him there. And the Lord added to the church. The very ones that were here. The very ones that would wag their fingers at him. The very ones that would mock him. The Lord had his people there. This is why we don't judge the wheat and the tares, dear ones. We can't. We would cast that wheat off into the fire and we'd bring that tare right into the kingdom of heaven if we could. The Lord looks on the heart. The Lord knows his people. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee, they all stood afar off beholding these things. I wonder what went through their minds. We know they didn't believe because they went back home sorrowful, didn't they? Then on the third day, they came to the tomb to anoint the body. So they didn't have an understanding then. You know, right now we see through that glass darkly. Many things we don't understand in the providence of the Lord and how he does. By faith, we accept his will. By faith. We can't do it doctrinally because all we're going to do is get bitter. But by faith, we say, Lord, thy will be done. By faith, we say, yes, Lord, I know that even this event was for my good. Because, Lord, you loved me and gave yourself for me. That's the depth of his love. And now as we have went through the seven statements on the cross, maybe you can understand a little bit more of my opening statement tonight. That when Jesus got done with all seven statements, is there anything else left to say? He said it all. He did it all. He provided it all. To Him be all glory. Dear Heavenly Father, add Thy power and Thy comfort and Thy clarity and Thy love, Lord, to Thy Word. Lord, remove any error and lift up Thy truth to Thy people tonight. Comfort us, Lord, with it. Comfort those in need. And Lord, may You cause us to praise Thy holy name for truly great things Thou hast done. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.